When a couple prepares to be married on the day, they want to make sure that it gets captured somehow. They may hire a photographer, a videographer, and they might follow them all throughout the day. And when the photo album comes, we see that the photos are not only about the day in which, or the part rather, that they exchange the vows, that they're in the church, that they say I do, and that they seal the deal. You have pictures there that point to what happened before and what happened after. Maybe you have family and friends that get together on the day. A lot of things that take place to prepare, get hair done, get makeup done. You might even have something that threw a monkey in the wrench, but decide to put it in the album anyway. When looking at those photos, none of us would think that these are superfluous, that these are filler. These are all very important things. They all have their part to play, especially when we recognize that the purpose of such things are what they are, rather than believing the only good part to be the culmination of the wedding day with the exchange of vows. It's not filler. And it's a temptation for all of us to approach Christmas in that way. After Turkey Day, a lot of the culture, a lot of our society is saying you got to prepare for Christmas now. And even more than that, are saying you should say to each other, Merry Christmas. Right? How many times now do we, if we go to the store, we'll receive that greeting? Well, if we're blessed to even receive that greeting, right? Sometimes the majority of things you get is happy holidays. But I digress. For us, it's not Christmas. We are in the Advent season. And we're in the Advent season for a reason. You know, there's a lot of graces that God wants to give to us if only we are open to them. And so while tempting as it is for us to rush to the good part of celebrating Christmas, this Advent season is a time of waiting, time of hopeful expectation. Not for the birth of Jesus, that already happened more than 2,000 years ago, right? We're not playing some kind of peekaboo game where we're like, okay, Jesus is gone. When the 24th comes, oh, there it is, happy birthday. What we're doing is we're aware that Jesus is going to come again. And that when he comes, he will come in all his glory. Now, the Advent season, called the season of waiting, sometimes confuses us because we associate that with passing the time. Take, for example, waiting in line to check out at Kroger's, or maybe you're waiting in the car before you receive the call to go in for your doctor's appointment. You know, that kind of waiting, yeah, no one likes to do, for sure. But the waiting that we have during this Advent season, it's totally different. It means doing things that orient our souls so that it may become more fitting abodes for the Redeemer. It means preparing our hearts and minds to meet God, not only in the life after, but also here and now. Now, many of us are dealing with a lot of excessive noise. What with the phones, tablets, TV, computers, all the technology that we have. And just because everything is at our fingertips, doesn't mean that it's good for us. Rather than making those your go-to during this Advent season, make Scripture your go-to. Make the Bible your go-to. At least when you wake up in the morning or before you retire at night. We find ourselves so filled with this excessive noise that it drowns out the voice of the Holy Spirit. It drowns out what the Lord is trying to communicate to us. And sometimes we might find ourselves, you know, we're so tired of waiting, we're so tired of just being still, that we look to other things. Maybe we say, okay, this person here, that person there, you know, they got a good message. Seems, right? Seems it has some message of the gospel therein. So let me just go ahead and take them at their word and believe that is how God is speaking to me. It's very easy for us to fall in that. And while in fact there are certainly some cases where that is true, where the Lord uses other individuals to speak to us, there's no denying that. But to say that that person has those exclusive rights, so that person is the only one that will speak the voice of truth or speak the voice of God, that's where we run into trouble. It's always good to take everything that we hear, everything that we listen for discernment, so that we can pray exactly, okay, Lord, what is it that you are asking of me? Asking of me for my family, asking of me for the places I work, asking for just myself, the things that I need to work on. You see, many of us in this world, not just talking about here, but in the world, are spiritually dry. And for that, we need to make that return to the Lord, to just allow Him to speak to us in the silence. You know, and if we don't get that right, what ends up happening is we take up the anxiety of the world upon our shoulders. We just take that on our hearts and think, I've got to work this all through. I've got to deal with this. I. And all of a sudden we don't enter into not only a life of prayer, but a deeper life of prayer. You see, time with Jesus is essential. It's indispensable, irreplaceable. And that's the waiting that we're called to do. To be attentive, to be preparatory, to have it so that what it is that we hunger for is the Word of God, is the incarnate Word, and we're not looking for anything else. Confession helps. Sometimes the airwaves are clogged with just all the stuff that we've done that made our love for God weak. We've looked toward paltry things, things that lack truly the splendor of God. And that's why it becomes that much more difficult to hear His voice. Going to confession just clears the airwaves. Gives us the opportunity again to just recognize the voice of God in our lives, where we can find ourselves not only entering into the stillness of God, but also actually receiving some of His peace. To also find ourselves in the grace of God during this Advent season, and along with confession, it means then zeroing in on at least one thing, one sin that we constantly struggle with. You know, like the thorn that's at St. Paul's side, you know, he's just kind of wondering how to deal with it. You know, maybe we recognize and identify, what is that thorn in my side? What is it that I really need to work at? And then we attack it. You see, sin is evil. Sin is something that we are allowed and should hate. It is something that we are not friends with. It is not something that we can look at and try to get along. It's something that we attack viciously because it harms the very life in which we enjoy with God. And so, in that viewpoint, in that mind, we create a plan, a battle plan, to go against that sin that is taking us away from that which is good. Whether it be our direct relationship with God, or perhaps the relationship that we have with family and friends, or even the relationship that we have with our neighbor. And so as we look at those things, we think of how it is that I am going to address that sin. Where are my pitfalls? Where are the times that I find myself the weakest? When I find myself angry, right? When I find myself impatient? When I find myself looking to unsavory things on the internet? And to do so, we, going back to what I said before, need the Bible. We need Holy Scripture. See, there is power in the Word of God. You know, all of it, right, we believe is the inspired Word. And we shouldn't care what the superior of the Jesuits said and this kind of questioning the inerrancy of Scripture. But because the Word of God is the Holy Spirit breathed into it, there is a particular power, there's a particular grace, there's a strength that comes to those who not only read the Scripture, but then proclaim that out loud and believe it. Technology is wonderful. You know, you can even search, you know, for these things. You know, if you might not be knowledgeable about all those particular passages in Scripture, I don't know what I need for hope, what I need for encouragement, what I need to, you know, fight against this particular sin, or what does the Bible say about that? You can easily find that with our technology today. There is no excuse for us not to have access to the very Word of God that will fill us with the strength, with the ability to wage war against sin. Maybe even have your rosary. And, you know, if you have a particular passage in Scripture, you know, you can even make a chaplet out of it. You know, sometimes if you find these Scripture passages, it has a very small line, a short line, well, use that, you know, in place of the Hail Marys. Pray that Scripture line over and over and over again. You know, and as you go and pray through those beads, you know, what you're doing there is you're impressing upon not only your mind, but especially your heart, the truth of these words. You're also proclaiming that to whatever it is that's around you. And I'm not just talking about, you know, your family or friends or whoever's there. You know, I'm talking about just everything that's around you, right? You know, we profess these things. You know, that's another day that we do, another thing that we do, spiritual battle. You know, because the enemy always picks stuff up. You know, whatever we say, whatever comes out of our lips. And the more good that we speak, the more that we find ourselves fortified in the Word of God, the more that it will flee. It can't stand the power of the Word of God. It can't stand the Holy Spirit. But we got to speak those things in confidence. And we pray those things again and again. It's just not being repetitious, because just that's the Catholic thing to do, right? You know, it's for us to say, you know, I am trying to have every cell in my body believe this, even though at times I may have doubt. And because of His spoken word, because it is charged with the Holy Spirit, that will take root. And you will see a change. You will see a change. As something as simple as that. You know, we're always looking for complex things, you know, in order for, and then we think that will be effective. But it's just the humble acceptance that this is what God has given us, that will bring us into His joy. Another thing too, you know, if you have that Scripture passage, put it on your cell phone, you know, make it into your wallpaper. Or maybe you put a sticky note, you know, on your bathroom mirror. Maybe you make it into a laminated card and you put it in your prayer corner. Just do something different to combat against that. And that will make a huge difference. And that is how we will take advantage of this season of preparation, how we will find ourselves waiting, not just twiddling our thumbs and waiting for Christmas to come or celebrating Christmas early, but to really say, no, I am going to take advantage of this now because it is so important. You know, as the entire day of the wedding is photo-worthy, so it is that as we see Christmas, that which happens before the season of Advent is also worthy. Worthy of our time, worthy of our attention. Christmas is coming. And it's not the only good part. Don't rush the season of Advent. A temptation for all of us is to try to fit in, right, all of the holiday parties. And I say that intentionally, right? Because we don't celebrate Christmas until Christmas Eve to the Epiphany. And so we try to make everything fit in December, and we're all wishing each other Merry Christmas during the season of Advent. We got to stop that. We really have to stop that. And I understand that's hard, because everyone else that you're going to see is going to say that to your face. So what we need to do is we need to change that. We need to change our culture. And that starts with us. That starts with our conviction. That starts with the way in which we approach life, how we embrace our Catholic faith. Because in the season of Advent, God also wants to instill that in other people, in the people that we meet, to make them think there is something beautiful here. Rather than finding ourselves, you know, when December 26th comes, I can't wait to burn that Christmas tree, and I'm so tired of looking at it, right? I'm just done. No more Christmas songs. You know, that's when we should be celebrating Christmas. But the season of Advent is when we celebrate that waiting. That waiting is an important part of the journey. And so when others come to us, you know, and they may wish us happy holidays or Merry Christmas, you know, we say, well, blessed Advent and a Merry Christmas to you. For in this waiting, that's how we get to really enjoy what God has ordained for us.